SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, SportsZone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. It is the first of many, maybe, depending on the winter. It's the first special morning where Tina is around the house because first it was a two-hour delay. And now school is canceled. In fact, in whatever, 10 years plus together, I don't know if I can recall an earlier school cancellation that has kept Tina home. And for those of you that have spouses either side of the ledger that are, you know, school teachers, I won't say anything that doesn't surprise you, but nothing seems to set Tina off into a gleeful day than just like the kids when they get word that there's no school. No school. So she's running around, and actually it's kind of timely because we've got this work going on that is going to officially start tomorrow. For those of you that are monitoring the kitchen renovation, and in fact, Jeremy Plonk's going to be with us in the first hour today. He's busy later, so we'll get Jeremy in early today. Jeremy went through one too, so he knows. But everybody's intrigued by the kitchen renovation, and so Tina getting some things out of the way. They're going to show up later today or later tomorrow to get going. And then we got our painter guy that's always around. He's repairing some plaster work in a front bedroom. We had a thing over the weekend going back to Saturday with the slate roof. I mean, this wasn't all supposed to happen at the same time. But it is. So, because we were supposed to have the kitchen was supposed to have been done, I don't know, September, October. Anyway, so it's a buzz of activity around here today. And the snow, there's not a ton of snow, but there was ice and freezing rain. And, you know, the weather, which hasn't been terrible, but it's had a couple of different spates of chill and so forth. They went ahead and closed the Oklahoma. The training track officially closed at Saratoga last week, and the last of the horses leaving town, packing them up and sending them on their way. So, it goes as long as the weather holds up. And it's kind of cool, actually, in the late September. You know, there's still quite a few, but October is kind of fun. We had years ago, when Toy Cannon, he hung around September, October, and it was really fun to go over there, you know, with the leaves changing and, stayed on and trained. But it's over. So look toward the spring and like Swallows to Capistrano. The horses will come back to Saratoga, but officially things are wrapped up. The recap on the Veterans Day action. What a fun day of racing yesterday at Aqueduct. And then, I mean, obviously there was racing elsewhere, but the races we went over with Nick, and in fact, just listening to the replay, the numbers that came back yet again, and I suppose we'll probably could save some of this for Andy's visit, but there's more than just tomorrow to go over with Andy. One of the things to discuss is certainly the the Christophe Clément maiden string. What, three straight over the weekend? Three maiden special winners for Christophe. But yesterday, you know, much as we were talking with Nick, he ended up with, you know, the big balloons all over the place, and especially the late half of the card. And it was started, frankly, with the horse that we discussed specifically, the 1-2 finishers in that fifth race. Gary sent out Chowda for Eddie F. So now you can go to Eddie F's Seafood in Saratoga and congratulate Eddie. I'm sure the picture will be up pretty quickly. Chowda, the MC colt, bred by Fedwell, and he was terrific. 71 buyer in this effort, and he held off both Bourbon Bay, the firster, from Mark Hennig, who ran very well, and actually ran well after a bad start, too. Who knows what happens here if Bourbon Bay breaks clean. But Tercero, too, ran well for George Abreu. And Chowda never even changed leads, actually, which is interesting because he looked like he was getting swamped, and you know, he's in between horses, and then he came again, but he didn't change. So nice win, and the $29 tote for those of you that came along, and that exacta with Hennig was $60. Pretty nice. That Jack of Clubs didn't run badly for Kelsey Danner either. And, of course, Danner later on gets the win in the nightcap with Pins and Needles. So congratulations to Kelsey for, as we had mentioned, Newtown Anner. And that was a nice mutual. And in between, you had, how about the Chad Brown, Paul Pompa runner, Country Grammar, and bred by our friends, the Pierces, Scott and Debbie Pierce, and a May foal, bitonalist, mile and an eighth, and Country Grammar, $21. And in fact, there was another Chad the other day. Was that yesterday? Was that Sunday? There's been a couple of you know, everybody, you know, the assumption always is that the Chad's runners are, you know, bet down to oblivion. But here was a $21 winner in the eighth. Classic Lady did prove best. And Duress for Albert Trani. And how about Declan Carroll, who's doing great. Rich Migliori getting him on live horses. And the Bug, absolutely a terrific ride on Duress in that sprint. Paid $20.80. So the late numbers, if you didn't see them. The pick five, 3,600 essentially, 3,593. The pick four paid 1,230. So, and that was with Chowda having been, you know, earlier, right? So wasn't even part of the pick five. The racing really good at Aqueduct, really fun. They're good puzzles and absolutely worth. I don't know how long this will last before horses start to head down, but the racing has been mighty entertaining. I'll tell you that. He also had Orchid Party for John Toscano, paid $20. So I think you had what, three or four $20 to $30 winners yesterday. And you know, that going back to that race with Chowda, Nick mentioned yesterday Dream Bigger, the Rudy Rodriguez that came out of the same race and went to Finger Lakes, won the Breeders' Futurity, 82 buyer. That was Dream Bigger. It goes even deeper than that, because that September 15th race, I tweeted it this morning, pretty fascinating. A seven-horse race at Belmont on September 15th, state-bred maiden special. Harris Bay wins, and then out of that race, Harris Bay came back and actually ran third in, I think, the Sleepy Hollow. But Dream Bigger wins the Breeders' Futurity. Hold My Call for Falcone won a maiden 50, state bred maiden 50, 61 buyer, 82 buyer for Dream Bigger in that Futurity. Big Package, who was sixth in that maiden race, came back for David Donk and won a New York bred maiden special weight. And now Chowda comes back and wins a maiden special weight, 71 buyer. Four horses behind Harris Bay out of a seven horse field have won back. So, you know, the state breds and 70, you know, high 60s, 60, 70, 80 buyers. You know, who knows where these horses go, but how about that? And actually, I didn't take a look at what that third place finisher that day, Tapazirance. I should see what Tapazirance has done subsequently. I didn't think to look actually at that one, but amazing. So really fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed yesterday and was throwing some money around. We were, you know, Tina and I kind of relaxed and hung out yesterday. I guess that's what we'll do today too. Now that she's home, so it's another day. Yeah. And speaking of Veterans Day, did you see Jay Hovde's piece at Bloodhorse on racing? Jay wrote a Veterans Day themed column, Deep Cover Vets and Down the Stretch, and he used the opportunity of Veterans Day to talk about, you know, some legendary horsemen, particularly West Coast based, and their veteran service, what they did. And he talks about Eddie Neloy and Charlie Whittingham, Noble Trewett, Willard Proctor, Alf Vanderbilt, Greg Gilchrist and John Sheriffs, and Leonard Dorfman are the horsemen that he references. Then it morphs from their service and then returning from the armed forces and from some very harrowing assignments, Battle of the Bulge and you name it, some pretty major combat duties. Gilchrist and Sheriffs in Vietnam, obviously. But he then uses it to swing into the McCannas and the down the stretch rants that, you know, we talked to Boone earlier this year. And it provides a place for veterans and, you know, those that have, you know, come back with, you know, the kinds of trauma that, you know, that's become all too familiar, and the opportunity to work with horses. And be sure to look at this piece. It Jay Hovde, to pull a line from from a great from a moving film, Born Again Hard, as the columnist, as the executive columnist for the Blood Horse. Yeah, I'll send out a link to this. It's really good. And also, because I'm mentioning down the stretch, you know, they were accredited by the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, and last week the alliance announcing the 40 aftercare facilities and retraining teams and so forth that received accreditation. Yeah. TAA, you know, I know that the theme is that, you know, nothing positive happens in racing ever, and nothing from the administrative side, but the TAA has been a real success, and it's brought real coherence and continuity to the second career and, you know, off the track thoroughbred environment. Speaking of Aqueduct, I'll bring this up with Andy. Maximum Security confirmed now for the Cigar Mile. which actually is not till December 7th. And this was very interesting, too, because service at the last minute brought Maximum Security from Belmont over to Aqueduct on Sunday to train. And having been at Aqueduct on Sunday, that track was heavy and dead. And the exercise rider, Jose Villatoro, raved. He loved the way Maximum Security got over the track. Unbelievable. So he's headed in that direction. Morticia, I retweeted this out, Marty McGee with the report that Watts Humphrey and Rusty are bringing Morticia back as a six-year-old. No breeding shed for her. Great news. Great news, too. Graham Motion starts us off back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a troubled man, changed by the things I do. True, but it's funny how they all remember you. You know, I could be different. Time to do something new. We're giving everything. I want to be a happy man.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20. Into hour one, and happy man, a good intro for Graham Motion's long-delayed visit. We were supposed to talk to Graham last week, and I put him off. He put me off one day. I put him off a day, and next thing you know, it's 9 days after the Breeders' Cup, 10 even. But it's always a treat to have Graham Motion visit. Congratulations on a bunch of things, but most notably your fourth Breeders' Cup winner, sharing the Juvenile Turf Filly.
Thank you, Steve. Good to finally catch up with you. I'd almost given up on you.
No, come on. Listen, you're off in Vegas. It's Vegas Graham, you know, one night only.
We were there for good reason, though. We were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary with two of our best friends who are also very involved in racing, so
lovely. Lovely. You guys absolutely deserved it. Well, and what did I was pushing Lotus of Siam, but you guys you went to Joe's, you said.
We went to Joe's. Yeah, we were there with David and Faye Donk and Johnny and Leona Velasquez, and we all actually got married the same year, 25 years ago. And
how about that?
Our kids are the same age, and we decided a long time ago that we were going to take a break after the Breeders' Cup and spend a couple of days in Vegas. And I can't believe we pulled it off. It was quite remarkable. But
oh, that's really nice. That's really nice. And the Donks, of course, so involved in the New York scene, and they do a lot, very quietly. I see Faye on all kinds of committees and fundraisers, and really nice. Well, and of course, Johnny as well, and Leona. Really nice. That how many autographs? A lot of people. I can't believe that. Did you get through a meal without, being accosted? A lot of congratulations.
No, not really. It's pretty quiet there. You know, it's such a big, there's so many places to go. You don't really run into too many people. Actually, I was disappointed. I found out that Hillary and Michael Stidham were staying in the same hotel, and we didn't even know they were there. So everybody
funny.
Went to Vegas after the Breeders' Cup, apparently.
I stayed around. I stayed at Santa Anita. I had to do recapping. You weren't there, but
you had to work. We were celebrating.
I don't blame you. Let's talk about the celebration. We had a terrific conversation last week with the little general, Aaron Wellman, and I not to focus on the handicapping side, but I thought Sharing looked like the right horse at the right price. Talk about the move from Laurel and what happened after the Salima, and how confident you were bringing her to California.
Yeah, I mean, I give Erin a lot of credit because, after she broke her maiden at Saratoga, we kind of came up with this plan to get her to the Breeders' Cup, and we chose the Salima at Laurel, mostly because of its proximity to my stable and the fact that the timing was so good for the Breeders' Cup. Laurel put the purse up at the Salima this year. It was $200,000, which gave us a much better chance of getting into the Breeders' Cup. And that was clearly a factor why we picked that race. But we knew we were taking a bit of a risk that it wasn't a win and you're in race. And, it's nearly always an overpopulated race, I guess, if you like, the Juvenile Fillies turf. So we knew we were taking a bit of a risk that we might not get into the race, but we rolled the dice and everything worked out.
And the Salima is interesting because it's got a great history, but it's been kind of footballed around distances and surface and so forth. The way it's been employed, because some people might think, the Salima, how did you end up there? But you look through that list of Salima winners, and it's a pretty nice list.
Yeah, and am I right in saying that maybe Barbaro won the Futurity that weekend?
Absolutely. Absolutely did.
And that was a grass race then, so you're right. It has been back and forwards, and it has been used for some... going way back, you're much more of a history buff than I am, but I know really good horses have used it to launch their careers as two-year-olds. And I think it was a really smart move by Maryland to up the purse this year, and I think it paid off with the fact that we ended up using it as a stepping stone to the Breeders' Cup.
And, the same can be said about what Naira did with the Futurity and how the Futurity ends up producing the Juvenile Turf Sprint winner.
Absolutely.
That four-wheel drive.
No doubt about it. Yes, for sure.
Well,
and I chose a nice, easy little overnight stake down at Colonial to run a horse of mine over the summer and end up running against the Breeders' Cup winner in his first start. Who knew, right?
Exactly. Well, listen, they come from anywhere, and there's so many interesting spots. Talk about the development of this horse, Graham, because you've obviously got a lot. It's special. It's special in so many ways. By a Breeders' Cup winner, and then out of a shared account, and talk about how special it is to make this happen for her.
Well, I think. Obviously any Breeders' Cup winner I've had is extremely special to me. But not only that, Sherrod Account was just this really kind, generous, just a, I mean, she was a barn favorite. She was just the easiest horse to be around. And I think that's what made it even more special for me, that I just have always had a soft spot for that filly. As have most of, you know, my the people that have been with me long enough to know her. So I think that's what made it even more special this weekend. And this filly really has sort of fallen in her footsteps. She handles herself very much like her mom. She's a really kind filly to be around. And she showed potential early on, probably more precocious even than her mom, to be honest. I mean, we liked her mom as a two-year-old, but this filly has always been very precocious since she came to me.
Well, and notably, Sherrod Account broke her maiden at Laurel.
Yeah, and I, you know, possibly had the timing been different, I would have run Sharing at Laurel. I mean, if I'd run her at Laurel, I probably would have run her on the dirt like we did with Sherrod Account, because she actually handles the dirt fine. But, you know, Aaron and I talked about it and obviously felt that that the grass was most likely going to be in her future just from her pedigree alone. And she always worked very well on the synthetic. So that's kind of the route we chose.
Well, and for those that don't necessarily recall, or if you're fairly new to, you know, following the sport, Sherrod Account, her Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf win for Sagamore. And she beat, among others, she was a huge price that day, right? I mean, she
40,
she was
40-some to one, yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, Midday, of course, was the favorite. And that part I remember pretty clearly. And Proctor had Kirtana, you know, who was a hard hitter as well. But she, here it is, $94. She was 46-1.
And I think the fact that she beat Midday that day, to me, that was a huge, that was a really big deal for me. I mean, I grew up following Henry Cecil as a kid. So just to be competing in the Breeders' Cup against Henry Cecil, let alone that, you know, she was the champion from the previous year, I mean, that was a huge moment for me to be on that kind of a stage. You know, it goes without saying, the Breeders' Cup is my favorite time of year. I love pointing for those races. I've been fortunate enough to be back there every year since Better Talk Now won, I think. And it's just, it's such a unique event. It's, you know, just to be there that week and watch the horses train, see all the international horses, it's just a very unique feeling, as you well know yourself.
And you mentioned the win by Better Talk Now in 2004, and then, of course, you brought him back four more years in a row, you know, one of the, you know, unprecedented multiple starters in any of the Breeders' Cup races, but five straight tries in the Breeders' Cup turf. And I'm just looking, actually, Filmmaker, 3 years in a row, and you know, not that it's a disappointment ever to hit boards in Breeders' Cup races, but she came so close, 2 seconds and a third. And then your second Breeders' Cup win was Sherrod Account in 2010, and then Main Sequence with the turf win in 2014.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to those days of Filmmaker and Better Talk Now, I mean, Filmmaker was incredibly unlucky. She came around at the unfortunate time of having to run against Ouija Board. I think we were second to her twice, or were we second and third, maybe? Second twice to Ouija Board. So, I mean, how unlucky is that? I mean, Ouija Board came back, what, 3 years in a row, I guess?
Yep.
She was a phenomenal mare. So Filmmaker is another one I've always had a soft spot for. She was, you know, she was my first grade one winner. She won the QE2 at Keeneland. And I remember so clearly at Texas, the first time we ran her in the Breeders' Cup, when she finished second to Ouija Board, and I was so disappointed. And Johnny said to me after the race, he's like, why are you disappointed? I'm like, well, we got beat. He's like, yeah, but she ran huge, you know. And she just was an unlucky mare. And Better Talk Now, I felt like if he'd beaten Red Rocks at Churchill, he really would have gone down the history books as one of the all-time greats. And he came so close, he just couldn't quite get to him that day. And I remember that race so clearly.
Well, it's a nice list of horses, and actually there are some that I'd completely forgotten about. And you know, the vast majority of your starters have been on turf, not surprisingly, but Rebellion in 2008, there's a horse I completely forgotten about, and had run in the mile on the turf in 2007, and then tried the dirt mile in 2008 and finished a good second.
Finished good second. Who won it that year? I don't remember. I remember the race, but I don't remember who beat him. That must have been the early days of the mile, I think.
It would be, because that's 11 years. Yeah, it can't be. There couldn't have been more than... There couldn't have
he
been
was a cool
another,
horse.
One or two.
I mean, he came out of the sale in England. I want to say Joe Seitz picked him out and from the sale in England, and that was... Yeah, I mean, we've had some great shots in the Breeders' Cup and often at long prices.
Well, you've taken plenty of tries at both the juvenile filly and the juvenile boys, and this, I guess, Untamed Domain, right, 2 years ago was second. But this was a terrific performance. And talk about the race. And of course, Manny Franco is going to, you know, be associated with her going forward. It's Manny's first Breeders' Cup win, and he gave an absolutely perfect ride, had her in the right spot every step.
He really did, and I actually didn't realize going into it Manny hadn't won a Breeders' Cup before, so that made it extra special. He's such a good rider, such a good person. You know, we kind of got together in the paddock right before the race. I was really nervous after watching the juvenile turf. I followed the West Point horse really closely in that race, and I thought he just had a dreadful trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got to thinking to myself, I'd had the same experience with Untamed Domain for West Point. We just had a rough trip. That was a tough beat. I think he could have won that day. And I just got to thinking, you know, Manny and I have got to come up with a plan here that we don't get so shuffled back. We got to be more forwardly placed, because you just can't afford to come. It's so hard to come from the back of the pack in those two-year-old races in those big fields. So, you know, Manny rode him perfectly. He got a sharp break for an instant. I thought he might be on the lead. I thought maybe we'd overdone it, but he got him settled beautifully just off the leaders, and I really thought she won pretty comfortably. Things opened up at the top of the stretch, and, you know, she beat a couple of really good European fillies, and not to mention Todd's filly as well.
Well, exactly, and Daye and Albina, and they both, you know, they both probably went home, you know, Roger Varian and Jesse Harrington, they undoubtedly went home muttering to themselves and kicking some cats, because they had some traffic issues. Sweet Melania, you know, drawn outside, and Jose Ortiz had to, you know, work out a trip. And she, you know, she ran credibly, but it's Sharing's day, and there it is, the Spitestown filly and Sagamore. I think the second, I made some notes actually on Sunday morning. I went through the winners and I was trying to figure out, you know, who had had multiple, you know, either bred or owned multiple winners. And they didn't, I don't think, Sagamore didn't breed Shared Account, right? That Shared Account must have been a purchase by Sagamore.
She would have been a purchase. I believe that was when Bob Felt was buying for Sagamore, and I think he would have picked her out.
All right, so this, I think, because according to my notes, this is Sagamore's first Breeders' Cup bred winner, and of course, between Anthony Beck and Gainsway at Eclipse, really a you know, a special win for them. Talk about, you know, what's ahead, because both you and Chad Brown were referencing dirt tries down the road for both of the juvenile turf winners.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, though I think it's more likely that we'll stick with the turf. I mean, obviously I'll talk some more to Anthony and Aaron, but I think turf is most likely to be in her future. I kicked around possibly the idea of pointing for the Tampa Oaks. I think that's a great starting point. Gives me a chance to give her a little break now. I think she's got a lot of growing to do. She's grown so much since from August at Saratoga to the Breeders' Cup. She grew so much. She changed a lot, and I think she's got a lot more growing to do. So I'd like to give her a little break now and give her a chance to catch up. But I think the Tampa Oaks is a race that sort of just looks like a good point raced a point for. I love the turf course there at Tampa, and I have a little stable there, so it would be something that would be easy for me to do.
Nice, and you also you also were floating some Ascot suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, I've floated that maybe, but I haven't discussed it with any of the partners, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But look, I think if it came up in discussion, she's a filly that could possibly go to Ascot and run in the race that that Miss Temple City ran in. I can't remember the name of the race. It's a one-turn mile race. You know, Miss Temple City finished fourth in that race. I think Shared Accounts.
That's right.
I think Sharing is a filly that could handle something like that. She's very sensible. You know, I think if she continues to improve, there's no reason we couldn't consider something like that if they wanted to.
Well, I think people would all love to see Aaron in one of the outfits. I mean, he'd look like something you put on a wedding cake under that scenario. The coronation, right? The coronation.
Coronation, starts. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, but I mean, if I want to go back to Ascot, I really need to feel good about it. We've taken a few shots. Miss Temple City ran well, but you know, I don't want to just go for the heck of it. I'd like to go back and really feel good about doing it.
Well, you got to feel good. Another Breeders' Cup win added to the resume and Sharing. And it certainly was, I was certainly happy to share my opinion of her potential in the spot with listeners and readers, because the 2960 put us nice spurs to the whole weekend. A couple of other thoughts about Breeders' Cup before I hit a few other topics. And, of course, Mississippi in the Filly and Mare turf on Saturday. And what happened there?
Yeah, disappointing. I mean, I really felt good about running her. She'd obviously come close to Chad's filly in the Flower Bowl. I think she really just didn't care for that firm ground. She just didn't run a race at all. I wasn't concerned about where she was during the running of the race. They went really quick, and Joel, you know, was comfortable enough where he was, even though he was far back. But she just never ran on at all and was very disappointing. But she came out of the race great. It's possible we could come back into Long Island and give her another start this year, but clearly she's better than her form that day. That was a disappointment.
Well, just the fact that she's coming back and that there's plenty to be done with her. A couple of other thoughts, Graham, before I ask you about some winners that we haven't spoken about, like English B, who won that Parks Fall Derby. Got a couple of other nice winners going back. The Bald Eagle winner, He's No Lemon. You had, as always, a thoughtful response that was very much appreciated and well-received by stakeholders and fans after the Breeders' Cup. And you know, everybody, not everybody left knowing what was transpiring with the Mongolian Groom. But I thought what you wrote was, you know, really had the right tone and you know, really the right message.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I tend to be a little bit outspoken about things, and I have a platform on Twitter, but I just really left Santa Anita that night with a tough feeling. It really tore on your heartstrings. I mean, it was just the most amazing weekend, and we came close to having this just most perfect 2 days. And it was, as you well know, it was just the most beautiful setting. I mean, there were some incredible performances, and it was just devastating for the horse to get hurt in the Classic. And it just, I think it took the wind out of everybody's sails. But, you know, as hard as we try, and I think the veterinary work was incredible that week. They were very strenuous in their efforts to look at the horses, and looked at my horses at least 3 times. You know, we didn't even train without our horses being inspected the first day. So I think it must have been hard for the vets, too, to cope with what happened. But at the end of the day, you know, sadly, sometimes horses are going to get hurt. And I think, you know, try as we might, we're never going to get to this perfect position of saving every horse. You know, we can do our most diligent work and try to protect them. And we as trainers have a huge responsibility every time we send a horse out there for the horse and the jockey, but it's not a perfect world. And, you know, horses, like athletes, are going to get hurt as hard as we try to avoid it. And I think we've made huge progress in trying to curtail the problems. But, you know, we've got to do better. We've got to continue to do what we were doing this weekend at the Breeders' Cup.
The difficulties that are encountered. I mean, when you have horsemen like Aidan O'Brien and Brendan Walsh having horses essentially excluded by a pre-race examination vet team, Graham. There's obviously a scenario that is, you know, trying to get every inch of the horse considered, but I mean, how do you explain? I mean, how do you explain this? Really, when there's obviously going to be horses that it's just either imperceptible or. Not to say that things were missed. I mean, there's going to be an investigation here that Dr. Bramlage is going to conduct and try to review everything. But you're sort of at a loss. I mean, to say to people, I mean, this is going to happen no matter how careful we are.
It is. And, you know, sadly, horses are not made like us. They just can't tolerate some of these injuries and we also, I think, we balance a fine line of how we're going to handle this in the future, because I don't think we want to get in a position where we're trying to save horses, perhaps, that suffer injuries that shouldn't be saved, just because we don't want to be struggling with the statistics of what's being brought up against us. You know, I went through a terrible situation back in 2001 when I ran a horse called Funfair in the Breeders' Cup. It was very early on for me. He was a lovely horse. I mean, I held him for the blacksmith that morning. I'll never forget it. It still haunts me to this day. And literally a few strides from the gate, he disappeared from my view at Belmont, and he fractured a hind leg. And I never could have anticipated that happening. He was not a horse we'd had any concerns about. And he was, you know, he'd been with me. He'd won a stake over the summer at Saratoga. And I was devastated. I mean, I literally drove back to the barn that day and wanted to drive out the gate, but I still had Better Talk Now to run later in the day. And it was, you know, these injuries have huge effects on us as trainers. And I don't go through a day without worrying about a horse getting injured. But unfortunately, you can't avoid every single injury. And that's what I say when I really mean it when I say I think as trainers we have a huge responsibility. And I think, you know, most of us feel that burden every time we send a horse out there.
Dr. Alday is going to join us. We haven't had a chance to talk to Steve in several months, and it's a topic when it comes to, you know, pre-race examinations. We've touched on it before many times, and particularly after 2012 Aqueduct, when they had the spate of injuries, and the task force came up with a series of recommendations and reviews to figure out, you know, what horses are at risk, and, you know, extra layers of precaution. And, you know, the one frustration in all of this continues to be that under a microscope, even though collectively, industry-wide, there's, you know, better and better results in this arena, if there's going to be an outcry with every single horse that doesn't make it around, I'm not sure what... I don't know how you're going to satisfy critics. And isn't there at some point, I know that, in fact, Nick Luck earlier in the year when he was on made this statement where the industry has to say, you know, we'd love to say that there's never going to be another horse that dies, but that's not the case. And we are doing everything possible. And we're sorry that there's people out there that believe that any horse that dies is wrong, and that somehow justifies the dismantling of a multi-billion-dollar industry. How do we answer that?
Well, first of all, we have to have a clean conscience. We have to feel like we're doing everything we can to avoid these injuries, whether it's the scrutiny of the vets like we had at the Breeders' Cup, whether it's the medication rules that, you know, we are trying as an industry to do better with. We've got to be able to say that we are doing everything we possibly can to avoid these injuries. And once we have a clear conscience, I think we have a leg to stand on. But until we get to that point, it's going to be very hard. Now, you know, I do believe that the original issue at Santa Anita was related to the track. You know, clearly they had a very difficult situation this winter with the weather. It's not the first time it's happened. Unfortunately, as an industry, we did not handle it well. We didn't get ahead of it. And we've gotten ourselves into this terrible position where we are so under the microscope that you're right, it's going to be hard to dig out of it. But somehow we've got to come up with a way, A, to handle our own public perception, and B, to be able to say we are doing the very best we can. And in order to do that, we're going to have to get much stricter with some of the rules and the medication rules.
Well, fair enough. And it's something that, you know, being grappled with industry-wide. Let me shift to happier conversation and easier conversations. I mentioned English B, and he's no lemon. Kind of, you know, under the radar stake wins. Talk a little bit about them. And also Varenka, who was a good second in the QE2.
Yeah, so... He's no lemon. I ended up giving a little break. I thought he ran really well at Laurel in, must have been September or October now. But he's a horse that I think, I would like to think can compete in the long distance races next year as an older horse. He's a mile and a quarter, mile and a half horse. English B's going to come back. I gave him a little freshening. He's going to come back in the Tropical Derby at the end of the year at Gulfstream. And Varenka, I think you're giving her more credit than she's due. She wasn't second. I think she was fourth in the QE2.
Fourth? Okay, I thought she was second.
But I thought she ran really well. I think she's a filly. You know, I gave her a break like we did last year. We sent her to Stone Farm to the Hancocks to give her a little freshening. And, you know, hopefully we'll have her back in the spring, maybe even at Keeneland in the Jenny Wiley maybe.
Nice. And yeah, actually, now that you say that, about the QE2, that was Cambier Park, and the Castle Lady was second in there.
But I thought she ran a respectable race that day, and I think she's, you know, she's shown that she's of that caliber, and there's no reason to think she might not even be better next year.
Nice. How about Nakamura?
Nakamura could show up in the Red Smith. I thought he was a little unlucky at Laurel last time. I thought he worked exceptionally well this past weekend. And we'll give him one more shot in the Red Smith before giving him the winter off. He's an improved horse, too. I think he's, you know, like some of these Animal Kingdom, I think he's just going to get better with age.
Nice. Well, the it's going to come to a point where the Animal Kingdoms that come your way are going to be speaking Japanese.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I mean, I'm sad to see him go. I think, unfortunately, he really needs to come up with a good dirt horse in this country, and he just hasn't been able to do that yet. He had some precocious ones as two-year-olds, but none of them have really gone on, and, it'd be interesting to see how he does in Japan.
Well, don't worry. The minute he's exported, that's when the good dirt horse is going to come. That's invariably,
exactly.
Right? I mean, it's incredible. Tell everybody about Mean Mary, too, that looks like there's plenty of upside out of one of my absolute favorite mares, Carlo Viveri, and by Scat Daddy for Mr. Campbell.
To At the Races with Steve Pick on Sirius XM Radio. I had a baby named Jane, she could shake that thing. Said her daddy used to hang with Johnny Coltrane. She sang on Soul Train with a friend named Jen. Her booty was bigger than a Mercedes Benz. Jen was a hurdy-gurdy, dirty little girly. I heard it from a birdie, she could cook a mean turkey with gravy. Baby, 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 baby was Jen's best friend. And maybe,
well, I guess we... I don't know if it's the... If it was me, it might have been. Did we lose Graham? Deja, did you lose Graham? Yeah. Yeah, you did lose me. Graham just actually texted me. Get Graham back if you would, please, Deja. I don't know if it was if this was us or... there we go. So she'll get Graham back. Because I do... There's a couple of other horses. I want to hear about Mean Mary, which is one of my absolute... you know, tracking horses and took a while to get to the races. Karlovy Vary was, for anybody that's listened to the show a long time, you know, Rusty trained Karlovy for Mr. Campbell and just was a, you know, I'm a fan of Dynaformer too, but that, and I don't even know how I latched on to Karlovy Vary, but have been kind of tracking Mean Mary once she turned up. And being by Scat Daddy, this is obviously a very important filly for Mr. Campbell. So let's do we get Graham back? Yeah. Or not. Okay. Because he just, yeah, he just texted me, Dash. So give him. Graham's got a couple of other recent winners as well. And I haven't even asked him about the Zagora winner, that Empress of the Nile, that won Breeders' Cup weekend. And then actually Graham also participated in the Chalukyi that Dale won. But he had Carrie Ann in there, who was third. So there's Graham Motion back with us. Graham, I think this was on my end. Glad to get you back. I was doting on one of my favorite rusty horses for Mr. Campbell, Karlovy Vary, and you've got the daughter by Scat Daddy that's got to be a very important horse for him, Mean Mary. Took a while to get to the races.
That's right. So Mean Mary is back in on Saturday at Aqueduct in an allowance race, and she's done well since her win at Keeneland, so I'm excited to run her back.
Well, and you know, the turf season waning, she'll go down to Florida, obviously.
Yes, I would imagine after this race, we'll get her on down to Florida. She is
nice.
Mean, like her name.
Really, she's kind of tough.
She's a little tough.
Well, she's got, and I, you know, I can't remember. Now that I think about it, did you ever get a chance to talk to Rusty about the dam?
I believe he told me, or someone told me, that she was a little tough herself.
Yes, yes.
Maybe you told me.
I think so. As I recall, because she was a favorite of mine, and I remember Rusty, the Dynaformer was all over her. Yeah. that's one of the things you got to deal with. You know what stake win I didn't talk about, Graham, for you, is that Zagora win on Breeders' Cup Saturday.
Empress of the Nile on Sunday.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, she really ran a good race. I mean, her previous race in the Flower Bowl was a real head scratcher. She didn't run a lick that day, but it was great to have her back on track in the Zagora. You know, Irad is just on a roll. What did he win? Five yesterday?
Yesterday.
He's unstoppable at the moment. So anytime you can get him is a huge plus.
What do you look at for her next?
Probably come back in the Long Island. I just have some decisions to make because I seem to have three or four that could run in that race, and we're just.
It sounds like it.
You know, running out of options with some of these guys. So.
And you also had Mercilla in there that I don't know much about.
Yeah, actually, I thought she ran a really good race. You know, she's a 3-year-old taking on oldest for the first time. I don't think she was beaten more than a length, and was, you know, kind of hung in there right till the last few strides. So. I think the distance made a big difference to her, and I think she could be a useful filly next year in these longer races. Just got beat in the Virginia Oaks over the summer.
Nice. We'll watch for Mercilla. And then the I had two more that I made notes on. Kid Mercury, that you kind of took a, I think, feels like a roll of the dice in the bourbon.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he might be good enough coming off that win at Kentucky Downs. A little disappointing that day. Came back and we ran him in an A other than at Keeneland, which came off the grass, I believe. So I'm going to put him away for the winter. He'll show up back in the spring. He's in a horse that probably is a little bit of a surprise that he was running that early as a two-year-old. He's, you know, looks more like a three-year-old type, really.
Nice. Well, and I want to close things out with a American Pharoah filly that debuted as well over Breeders' Cup weekend. And a lot of these horses, you know, everybody's so caught up in Breeders' Cup, but Speedy Vanessa looks to have a nice future.
Yeah, I think she does, and I do think it's probably going to end up on the grass. I actually planned to run her at Keeneland on the grass, and then she came up with the temperature, and then we had her back in at Keeneland again, and she got loose in the post parade, so she just was not destined to run at Keeneland. And we finally got her in back in at Churchill Breeders' Cup weekend. I thought she ran a credible third. Probably run it back possibly at the end of the meet at Churchill on the grass. I think the grass is going to be in her future, and I think she's useful.
Wow, these American Pharoahs are just doing it's just crazy. Short, long, turf, dirt, it doesn't seem to matter.
Phenomenal.
And are you how many do you have? How many Pharaoh 2-year-olds?
You know, I have a really nice colt also from Mr. Campbell called King of Egypt, who broke his maiden first time out at Laurel, beating a Delacour horse who came back and won a stake up in Canada a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, we had to give him some time, but he's a colt that I really like for next year.
And are you finding the temperament? Because one of the things I just remember thinking and discussing with Sid Fernando and actually with Baffert too was that forget about the talent that American Pharoah might pass on to offspring. That if they were going to be as teachable and as easy to be to work with as he was, that was going to be a huge asset.
Yeah, and I would imagine that's a big factor in why he's doing so well. I mean, mine certainly have good temperaments, and I think, look, for me, that's always a huge factor. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going to make them so good.
Did you train this dam, the right pew? I remember her, but I don't remember if you.
No,
Campbell?
That must have been Rusty. I would think that was probably Rusty.
Okay, because I remember the name, but Mr. Campbell's in full swing right now, huh?
We had a great Keeneland for him, which was exciting because, you know, he loves to come to the races. He's been going to Keeneland since before my time. So him and Mr. Bassett, they like to get together there, and it was great that we were able to have a couple of winners at the meet for him. He's a special man.
And you know, one of those owners that not a complainer, not anybody you read about popping off. He just seems to, you know, kind of churn out nice horses, and I've got tremendous respect for, you know, his and he's also very loyal, it seems, right? In terms of his the way he distributes his horses.
Certainly. I mean, he's been at it for a long time. And like I said to him, I wish I'd met him 20 years ago. He's a very loyal man, and great to have his horses.
Well, you're not lacking for good clients. That's for
no,
sure.
Look, I'm very fortunate in that regard, Steve. There's no doubt about that.
I love it. Well, Graham, this was tremendous. And I appreciate the frank comments regarding, the aftermath of Breeders' Cup and the general atmosphere that everybody is dealing with for the game.
We came close to having the most perfect weekend, and it was spectacular racing. And that's what we're all in it for.
Graham Motion, everybody that, of course, you should follow and appreciate Graham for not just his horsemanship and his stewardship as a stakeholder in the game, but also somebody who has wider concerns for the society at large. Graham, thanks as always.
Thank you, Steve.
Graham Motion. and always one of my favorite visits. Let's take a quick break. We got lots to do. Andy Serling next. As I mentioned, Dr. Stephen Alday, Horse Help Today, brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. And Steve, it's something we've talked about off and on for years, and that is pre-race examination. He'll tell you what is looked at, what is possible, what isn't possible. He'll also discuss catastrophic injury on the front limbs versus the back limbs. Because that's a topic that, you know, it's much more unusual to have a hind ankle, hind whatever, pastern cannon, whatever bone, whatever it is. I mean, whatever happens in the back end, just much more unusual than the front. So he'll explain that as well. We'll talk to Nicole Russo later as well. Want to get sales update a week into Keeneland. Haven't talked about yesterday. Constitution weanlings yesterday, a pair of them. Want to get the weanling market insights from Nicole. That'll be later. And what else? Jeremy was going to be now, but he was going to be after Graham, but we got so involved with Graham, we'll save Jeremy to later. Back after this, though, Andy Serling.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. I get tired and
upset, and I'm trying. We're back at the races, coming back just after a terrific visit with Graham Motion. And And I'd almost forgotten about that. Win in the Zagora. So I'm glad I slipped that in. And of course, top of hour two on a Tuesday.